Good morning. Hi. Liat still doesn't hear me. Sit down, Liat. Okay. And then Amy Fitzpatrick is coming down. All right, good. Just practicing the names. You don't know, that is the trick I'm doing, okay? I'm practicing the names and then they can say, that's not my name. And okay. All right. What are you expecting from me today? Huh? Outline? What do you mean by outline? Huh? A lot. Ah, that is very good. I like that. That's good. Now, if somebody has a problem printing out the outline for something, you have to send me an email and let me know, and I will print out 5 copies or something like that and bring it to class. Or, you know, you come by, something like that, okay? And the other thing is that I was expecting to bring you your quizzes back today. But it will be in your mailbox between 12 and 1, or by 1 p.m. today, it will be in your mailbox. Okay? And so, that is the thing. I thought you were expecting that quiz, and so, it will be in your mailbox. Okay? And so, that's it. And so, what I like to go, and as you are expecting, I will fulfill your expectations today. That means finish up this outline, because we can't spend any more time on this outline. You know, you are ahead, way ahead of me in this section. You have gone to the, yes, you've gone to the gluteal region, and next you are going right down to the posterior thigh. Posterior thigh doesn't take you 5 minutes. What is there in the posterior thigh? You know, 2 or 3 muscles just go down, and you are going to the popliteal fossa. That means you are there in no time. So therefore, I have to catch up with you guys, and Becky. And so, we have done the hip joint. Before I go to do the muscle groups of the thigh, I like to share this information with you. This is in your textbook, but I just still thought, as you guys need to get used to reading x-rays and things, you know, I'll slowly start introducing you to these things. And so when you see it here, you can also see. Well, from looking at this x-ray, what would be the impression? What impression do you have? What impression do you get from looking at this x-ray of the hip joint? This is of the hip joint, the whole, what do you call, how is my volume?
Perfect.
Okay, yeah. So the whole pelvis and sacrum, you can see, and the hip joint. And so what would you tell me? What comes to your mind? Yeah, you don't see the whole thing. You don't see total ossification. You don't see ossification. You see the pubic bone is sitting there getting ossified, and you can see the other part. The stiff tuberosity is here, and the ilium is here. So that means, what does that mean? What does that tell you?
It's from a child.
It's a child's, you know, what we call the pelvis. And as you can see even the, when you look at the hip joint, you know, so these are the types of things your eyes are going to be getting used to. Looking at this, oh yeah, what do I see? Oh, what do I see? I see radioduce and radio opaque areas, and that means, alright, this area is ossified, and so is this, and so is this, and this also told you something else, like in histology, there's different ossification centers, taking place, and so you can see all that, and then they will be growing in. Even though it is in the textbook, and I thought, maybe, if I put it on here, when you look at it again, it will give you a different, you know, impression. And so now, we are done with the hip joint, muscle groups of the thigh. How I do? Okay, good. how I deal with the muscle groups of the thigh is the anterior thigh, you have dissected and you have had it also in living anatomy. You have palpated and then you have seen the real muscles in the cadaver. What do you have in the anterior thigh? As you look at it, you have flexors of the hip joint and the extensors of the knee joint. That is the anterior thigh muscles. And then you can put into that place, you know, what are the flexors of the hip joint? What are the flexors? Which muscles flex the hip joint? Iliosalus and rectus femoris. And then extensors of the knee joint. Extensors of the knee joint, which muscles are, extending the knee joint there? Which ones are there? What is such extensors? The extensors, they call out their name. They are giving you the answer. Extensors of the knee that you find in the anterior thigh, quadriceps extensors. Their name itself tells you they are extensors. And then there's a little muscle. That little muscle here is called the articularis genus. I don't think anybody is going to ask a question on that on, you know, a board exam or anything like that. But I just want you to have heard that there's a little muscle that is actually part of the vastus intermedius. Vastus intermedius. And that muscle sits here, right about here. This is the femur, anterior surface, lower part here. Just few muscle fibers, you will come across it when you're doing the knee joint. When you're doing the, you will do the knee joint and the hip joint after you're done with all the muscles, you know, of muscles in the dissection lab. There's a little muscle here, very few muscle fibers here, and that muscle has insertion to the synovial membrane or the synovial capsule of the knee joint. So it's inserted into the synovial capsule of the knee joint. So what it does is when we are extending the knee, it prevents the synovial membrane, the synovial capsule from, you know, folding, you know, in between, you know, the structures of the knee joint. That's the only thing it is doing. And some people may not even talk about it. Okay, I just thought, okay. And so then we go to the medial thigh muscles. What you would do, you will see is that as you have already printed out the outline and you have gone through this and you've seen that I'm doing all the muscles and then I come back and do the arteries, veins, and then I come back and do the nerves and then any other little things, you know, the openings and the hiatus, this and that, and that's how, you know, we'll be finishing it. So medial thigh muscles, you already know. Medial thigh muscles you have. What do you have in the medial compartment of the thigh? What would you call that compartment? What would you call those muscles? Adductors of the thigh. And in that adductor compartment, you also have, you know, adductor magnus, longus, adductor brevis, all those adductor names. But in addition to that, you would see that gracilis and pectineus and even the obturator externus are listed in the same table. And obturator externus, what sort of a muscle do you think it is? It's found in front. I don't know if you have gone that far or that deep in your dissection. Have you seen the obturator externus? Yeah, some of you might have and some of you might, I don't know. But, so obturator externus is not an adductor. But because of its location in that region, the authors, 4th edition, 5th edition, authors Moore and Daly have included that muscle there. Okay, so watch out. It is not an adductor. But what muscles are adductors? You know the names. In addition to the adductor muscles, you have the gracilis and the pectineus included in the adductor compartment. In the adductor compartment. That means, you know, what do they do? What do they do? The pectineus and the gracilis, and they are included in the adductor compartment. Do you think they do something there? Yeah, they help. They help the adductors. They help the actors there. Now, there's also another little thing about pectineus. Pectineus has two innervations. That means from two separate nerves, pectineus muscle gets innervations. Logically, what two nerves would you think that pectineus is getting innervation from? Now remember, pectineus is in the medial compartment, considered to be, one is obturator, the other is femoral and obturator. Those of you who have printed out some notes that were floating around, online, and those of you who have printed out those notes, in those notes it will say accessory obturator. In those notes it will say accessory obturator. But it is not wrong. It is not wrong. Okay, there is a nerve called accessory obturator. It may not be present in everyone. There is an accessory obturator nerve. It may or may not be present in everyone. Okay, that's the only difference. But it does get, pectineus muscle gets two innervations. So, how about the gracilis? Do you think gracilis has any such details like that? No, gracilis is just simple gracilis. You have felt it yesterday. Gracilis doesn't have any such specialties, and so it just comes and it does help, what you call the adductor muscles, and we move on. And then the other, one here is, right here. So we have then the anterior thigh muscles. Now, there's one more thing about the anterior thigh muscles. Okay, this is still talking about the obturator externus here. But there's one thing about the adductor magnus muscle. Okay, the adductor magnus, what do you remember about the adductor magnus from your readings or from the outline or from anywhere? What can you tell me about the adductor magnus muscle? It has two parts. Adductor magnus has two parts. What are those two parts? Hamstring part and the adductor part. The hamstring part may also be called what? What do the hamstring muscles do? Hamstring muscles extend the thigh, and hamstring muscles also do something else. If you remember the insertions of the hamstring muscles, where do they insert the hamstring muscles? Yesterday you palpated them. You palpated the semitendinosus, membranosus, and, pardon me? Flexion of the knee. So, the hamstring muscles, flexion of the knee and extension of the thigh. So, when you are talking about the hamstring muscles, flexion of the knee and extension, of the thigh, and we are talking about the adductor magnus muscle, which has a hamstring part or an extensor part. So that little hamstring part or the extensor part of the adductor magnus muscle, where if it is extending the thigh, where do you expect it to insert? The hamstring part or the extensor part of the adductor magnus muscle. The adductor tubercle, which is located where? The medial epicondyle of the femur. Okay, and as you look at it here, so this is the medial condyle, lateral condyle of the femur, medial epicondyle, So the adductor tubercle is right on the medial epicondyle of the apophyseal. So right here. So that means it is here. That is one thing. So the extensor part of the adductor magnus muscle is inserting onto the adductor tubercle. And number one. Number two, it is working, functioning with the hamstring muscles in extending the thigh. Number three, it is innervated by not the obturator nerve, not the femoral nerve. What do you think is innervating it? The sciatic nerve, but you have to add a little bit more to that, Radhika. That is the tibial division of the sciatic nerve. Sciatic nerve has lots and lots of spinal roots, okay? Sciatic nerve has, you know, common fibular and tibial two divisions. We will go over that when we go to sciatic nerve, okay? And so it is coming from the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, okay? So the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, specifically the L4 spinal root. So specifically the L4 spinal root. So when we look at innervation of the extensor part of the adductor magnus muscle is from L4 via the tibial division of the sciatic nerve. Okay? And so that means, but the other adductor muscles, adductor longus, adductor brevis, from where do they get innervation? At the adductor muscles. At the obturator nerve. So this one is separate every which way. This one is separate every which way. In its function, in its innervation, in its, in its attachment. In its attachment, it is different. So the extensor part of the adductor magnus muscle is different. And there's one more thing about the adductor magnus muscle that you might have seen, Alright, it appeared. Great, how about it? Oh, we have to, the machines work, alright, good. Thank you, Brian, wherever you are. Okay, good, now can I move back and forth? Okay, alright. Okay. Alright. Okay, well, I can't go very far, but I just, because I did some stretching this morning, so I did not get that excited when these things didn't work. Otherwise, you would have seen me jumping up and down. And so, so you can see little bit of what is called, see, this is the part where you have, this is the adductor hiatus right over, here. And so that, what does a hiatus mean? A gap, an opening, a gap. So adductor hiatus. Why would you call the adductor hiatus? Why don't you just say a gap? Because it's in the adductor muscle. See how logical anatomy is? How easy it is. Oh, you guys, don't get scared. That's one of the most important thing is, don't get scared. I told the tutorial students yesterday, a long time ago, I had a writing on my door. I took it off, after a couple of years. I said, you have to have guts to pass anatomy. So that I received that, it's a nice little, thing. That means don't get scared. Don't get scared. You can do this, but just go logically. Use logic and try to figure it out, okay? So the adductor hiatus. And so in this is the other fifth thing about the adductor magnus muscle. Okay, adductor hiatus. And adductor hiatus, what does it do? Adductor hiatus, what does it do? What do you find there? So that is important for you to know, what do you have in the adductor hiatus? What do you have?
Vessels.
You have vessels, you have vessels, you have vessels. You have vessels, what vessels?
The artery
and the vein, which ones? Because you are in the region of the femur, so what vessels?
Femoral
artery, femoral vein, femoral artery, femoral vein, coming from the front, going down to where? To the popliteal fossa, and coming back up to the thigh. From the popliteal fossa, what is coming from the back of the thigh, from the back of the popliteal fossa, or from the popliteal fossa to the thigh, what's coming through the adductor canal? Use your brain, that's all you need to do right now. What's coming through there? Well, that's right. The popliteal vein is coming up to the thigh, becoming what? The popliteal vein comes through the adductor, hiatus, and then into the adductor canal. And what would you call that when it comes into the region of the femur? Femoral vein. So the femoral artery going down, and the popliteal artery coming up, but both of them are traveling together and you find both of them there. So those are the, contents of your adductor, hiatus. And from which part of the body did you see most of the adductor magnus muscle? Which part of the body?
Posterior.
Yeah, posterior compartment of the thigh. Posterior compartment of the thigh is where you would find most of the adductor, muscles. Okay, and let me see if anything else can happen, here. Alright, nothing can happen. Alright. Oh, only those two diagrams appeared. Well, I thought the whole thing came. This is from someplace else. Okay. And at least for posterity's sake, we will keep that picture there. So, that's the only one.
I just pulled up hamstring.
You just pulled up hamstring?
this is from your computer.
Okay. Okay, good. Let's try that. Yeah, good. Okay, and so that is the adductor magnus and the adductor muscles and the medial compartment of the thigh. And then let's go here. Posterior thigh muscles or gluteal muscles. Next we have to do the gluteal muscles. Gluteal muscles, you already know a whole lot of things about the gluteal muscles. Okay, let's go here. How many gluteal muscles? Gluteal muscles. How many are there?
Three.
There are three gluteal muscles, but deep to those in the gluteal region, you also have several other muscles called, what did you call them? The lateral rotators. So you also have the lateral rotators that are known as lateral rotators in that place. But the gluteal muscles, gluteus maximus, medius minimus, okay? Now, when you look at the gluteal muscles and the lateral rotators in the gluteal region, what can you tell me about the gluteus maximus muscle? What does it do? Gluteus maximus, what does it do?
Lateral rotation.
Of the thigh and anything else? Extensor, that's the main extensor, of the hip joint, the main extensor of the hip joint. Lateral rotation comes only, after the extension. Okay, extensor, main extensor of the hip joint, and then lateral rotation, of the thigh, it can do, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Okay. Good. My God. Yes. Hey, guys, he is really a genius. Look at him. from my computer. I had not even had it on the thumbstack or whatever you call it. I know it's not thumbstack, it's something else. Thumb whatever. Okay? But he got it off my computer. No, I didn't have my computer on. Okay, so you have to realize that. Okay, beautiful. And now you guys are laughing. What is this woman talking about? You can do this, just like that. I know you can, because 4 years of age you had your computers. So, now when we go to the gluteal region, here is the gluteal. Of course, people like me, it's a miracle. Let me tell you. No, it's really so much convenient when I had to get the pieces typed. You know, pay $1 per page. Okay? And so when you see this, it's a miracle. Okay, now let me go to the gluteal muscles here. As you see, the gluteus maximus. Now when you look at it, I told some of you in the Living Anatomy class that when you go into the dissection lab, what are you doing? What is your purpose? Why are you getting dressed and everything and going there? How's the purpose in your mind when you are dissecting? What is the purpose? To see from where it's coming, where it's going, what is its blood supply, what does it look like, what structure is next to it, what is superficial to it, what is deep to it, what is medial and lateral. That information that you're getting into your brain is from looking and dissecting and seeing it there, okay? And that is when you don't have to memorize. When you look at something like this, I'm not going to take all the muscles like that. Here you can see, before you take the whole muscle this way, sometimes some people cut it this way, some people cut it here and, you know, reflect it. But whichever way it is, you can see its origin and its insertion. Okay, from that, you can figure out a whole lot of things. What is its innervation? Superior gluteal, gluteus maximus muscle. Now, what is its innervation? I'm going to wait for you to answer it. I'm not going to answer it. Okay. What's its innervation? Inferior. Inferior. What is inferior? Inferior to what? And superior to what? Piriformis. Piriformis muscle. So, the nerve that is coming out superior to the piriformis muscle is superior gluteal nerve. So what will the superior gluteal nerve innervate the other two gluteal muscles?
Yes.
The superior gluteal nerve also, will it? I'm asking you a question. Will it innervate the gluteus medius and minimus?
Yes.
You suckers, no. I asked you a question. I didn't lead you this time, okay? Is the inferior gluteal nerve, the inferior gluteal nerve that is innervating. Inferior gluteal nerve innervates the gluteus maximus. The superior gluteal, you are right, superior gluteal innervates the gluteus medius and minimus. Okay? Yeah. Inferior gluteal nerve is innervating the gluteus maximus. The reason is, look at it here, the reason is, here is the piriformis muscle, here is the inferior gluteal. Look at the inferior gluteal going. I mean, the inferior gluteal nerve going and giving to the gluteus maximus muscle. See, I let you on there. And then, superior gluteal nerve, of course, is innervating. The reason is the muscle fibers. Where the muscle fibers are. Where the muscle fibers are. When you look at the superior gluteal nerve here, muscle here, see, here is the superior gluteal muscle, okay? Most of its fibers are here. Here is the gluteus medius muscle. And deep to this, you know, a little bit deep to here, is your inferior, you know, gluteal muscle. And so therefore, when you look at it here, yeah, it is kind of an anomaly kind of thing, you know, superior gluteal you would think, but, so here you have the piriformis muscle, inferior gluteal nerve going to the gluteus maximus, superior gluteal nerve going to your gluteus medius and your gluteus minimus. Okay? And so, so that is, and you know, the actions, you need to look up all the actions, innovations of all these things here. But lateral rotators, which muscles are normally known as lateral rotators of the thigh. Lateral rotators of the thigh. How many muscles are known as the lateral rotators of the thigh? There are six muscles known as the lateral rotators of the thigh. Piriformis, the superior and inferior gemelli. See here, superior gemellus, inferior gemellus, obturator internus, and obturator externus, and quadratus femoris. And so here you have all those. Of course, the gluteus maximus helps. Gluteus maximus is not known as a lateral rotator of the thigh. Okay. Now, so these muscles, of all these muscles, you can see piriformis is an important landmark in the gluteal region. Because you are referring to the superior gluteal nerve, the inferior gluteal nerve, and the gluteal arteries all in relation to the piriformis muscle. And sciatic nerve, where does it exit? Normally, below the piriformis muscle. Posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh, below the piriformis muscle. Pudendal nerve, below the piriformis muscle. So this is why piriformis is, you know, a landmark there. And also, when you look at the piriformis here, you know, the upper border of the piriformis would be in line with your, you know, the S2. Remember your S2 yesterday? You know, the skin dimples at the back? So the upper border of the piriformis would begin to indicate, you know, the S2 vertebral level here, and so it is going like that. Now, the textbook, as well as Nerer, talks about the innervation of the piriformis. You know, they both agree, and it is S1 and S2. So in this section, if you say it is nerve to piriformis, I don't think people will be too happy with that answer. Because anybody can say nerve to this, nerve to that. Okay? But it has S1 and S2 spinal roots innervating, you know, the piriformis, you know, muscle. And so you can please take a look at, I don't know, 5.643, something like that. Table will give you the rest of the information on the lateral rotators of the thigh. That means you need to know the actions, origins, insertions. And if you think it's too much information, let me tell you. Let's ask you to study these things. You know why? When you go into second year, you have physical clinical medicine and you have all kinds of things where you need to know the origins and insertions. And how do you shine in second year? Because now you are struggling to get this information. It is not for me. You're doing this so your life is also easier as you go along, you know, for other, you know, courses. Because people think this is detail, or this is Dr. Thomas and detail, or no. No, this is what is needed for you as you go along. But I can go very easy and say, if they don't know the origin, that's fine with me. When you go in second year, you really still will have to go back to your first year atlases and look at it and study it. Don't you think it's good now when you have the cadavers and you can see it? Okay, now let's move on to the posterior, you know, thigh muscles. When they come to the posterior thigh muscles, very easy. There are only very few muscles because that is where you're going to go pretty soon, isn't it? You're going to go to the posterior thigh muscles. As you look at it here, this is, you know, somewhat what you will see. You can see the arteries are here also. And then we come down to the posterior thigh muscles. There's only, what do you have? You have the hamstring muscles. But what's the beauty of the hamstring muscles is this. There's a common origin for the hamstring muscles. What's the common origin? Here is the, what is this bony landmark where you're sitting and you're waiting? Yeah, ischial tuberosity. Ischial tuberosity. And so here is the ischial tuberosity. So you can see there you have your semi tendinosus is here, and you can see the semi membranosus, and also the long head of the biceps femoris. Now, when you talk about the biceps muscle here, you really need to specify biceps femoris. Because what? Why do you think? Yeah, because she showed me, she said, I have a biceps, you know, brachii muscle here. So you have to specify which is this. Biceps femoris and biceps brachii. So those two muscles you have to specify. Okay? And so then, another, yeah, let me see after this one. And then, there's a short head of biceps femoris also. Short head, here's the long head coming from here. Short head, and you can see this is the posterior part of the thigh, so from where do you think the short head is taking origin? What structure is there? What is there on this bone, on the posterior aspect of the bone here? What do you have? Linea aspera. This is, what does that mean, linea aspera? Rough line. So rough line. So here is the linea aspera, which is very important. Linea aspera is an important bony landmark for what? Important beyond, because I'm saying, why do you think? Oh, a whole lot of muscle attachments. A whole lot of muscle attachments. Yes. Don't worry about what is showing you. Take a look at this. Take a good look at this bone. And this is a real bone. Take a good look at it and believe your eyes. More so than the atlases, okay? And so you can see the medial lip and the lateral lip. And then you can see the supracondylar lines, both of them there. If you don't know which is which, I'll go over it with you during the break, okay? Okay, yeah. So take a look and then I'll. And so here, the posterior thigh muscle, that's it. And what do you think is innervating the posterior, you know, thigh muscles there? Now you have seen that the long head and the short head of the biceps femoris, you know, muscle, they have separate origin. So from what do you think? Do you think they would have separate innervations also? Yes or no? Yes, just we can laugh. Tell me. Yes. Yes, biceps femoris, long head and short head, they have, you know, separate, you know, innervations, because they're both coming from the sciatic nerve, but from two divisions, of the sciatic nerve. The short head here, this is just the short head, you know, this is a small one here, short head, that receives from the common fibular nerve of the sciatic. You know, nerve, common fibular division of the sciatic nerve. And the others, all of them are receiving from the sciatic nerve, but from the what is called the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, okay? And so that is the innervations and the actions of this we already have gone over, and you've seen they extend what? The hamstring muscles extend what? The thigh, what do they flex? The knee. And do they do anything else? The homework, what did the homework teach you? If you've looked at, some of you have done the homework for Living Anatomy, and you've seen what is laterally rotating the leg, what is medially rotating the leg. I was told when we looked at continuing education this summer, when you ask a question, don't answer it, just give them time and wait. So I'm not answering, I'm waiting. Liette is smiling and laughing so beautifully, she thinks that I'm going to give the answer. Which ones are medially rotating the leg? Semi tendinosus and membranosus. Which one is laterally rotating the leg? The biceps femoris. Okay, good. All right, now you guys will, when you go into the posterior thigh, you would not have too much of a problem. You know, I don't think you would have had too much of a problem even before that. Okay, there's one thing I forgot to include here. When we looked at, you know, the gluteal region, and some of you are massage therapists, and do you want to help me here with your information on a muscle in the gluteal region? I gave you an article to read. One of you guys read the article. Did you return it to me?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't. Yeah. Okay. Charles, what did that article tell you?
It told me that...
Louder, please.
The piriformis muscle passes through the sciatic foramen, and sometimes the sciatic nerve also, well, it always passes through there, but sometimes the muscle gets in the way or pushes pressure on the nerve, which causes back pain all the way up to the lumbar area and even down to the leg.
Yeah, piriformis syndrome. What Charles discussed there is, you know, for whatever reason, the piriformis muscle may enlarge in size, and then it is called this writing, you know. Okay, piriformis syndrome. Piriformis syndrome, you know, can give you sciatica, you know, pain, sciatica, you know, inflammation of the sciatic nerve as it is passing, because both these structures and several others are exiting the pelvis via the greater sciatic foramen. You will be look at, instead of memorizing, look at the greater sciatic foramen and see what structures are coming out through the greater sciatic foramen. Piriformis muscle does. Okay, superior gluteal artery, inferior gluteal artery, superior gluteal nerve, inferior gluteal nerve, all those, and the pudendal nerve, they all come out of the pelvis via the greater sciatic foramen. And so if all these structures are coming out through the greater sciatic foramen, and if this muscle has enlarged in size for whatever reasons, it can compress, you know, the sciatic nerve, and it can give, you know, pain. You know, it can even, as he said, as that article said, it can, you know, radiate, you know, to the upper part, that means to the lumbar region, because the sciatic nerve is what? Starting with L4, spinal root L4, starting with L4, 5S, 1, 2, 3, sciatic nerve, so it can, but also it goes down the route of the sciatic nerve. So that is called the piriformis syndrome, and Charles has that article, and if you want to read it, I didn't think I have to take copies of it. You know, you can read it and float it around and read it, and then please return it to me, you know, when you are done with it, whoever it is. Or if you can scan it, you know, and put it on the computer if you like, that's also fine with me. And so that is the thing there, piriformis syndrome. And the interesting thing is, none of the people with the massage therapy information helped me here. So you can massage this and heal it, isn't it? You can massage it and heal it. Can you heal that with massage piriformis syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I think so. So you have a job for a long while. When you are in school, if somebody has piriformis syndrome, you can make your tuition fee, you know, tuition order by, you know, getting that healed. Okay, and so that's the side business. And then, let's go and look at the blood vessels, beautiful blood vessels of the lower extremity. Okay. Okay, good. Blood vessels here. Again, now I'm done with all the muscles in the anterior compartment, medial compartment, posterior compartment, and the gluteal region. Now I'm going to each of these regions to do the blood vessels. Okay? And so now, blood vessels of the thigh, there was a current packet that was that was given. Do you have that coloring packet? Remember that one? And we colored the arteries and the veins. Veins I don't remember doing. The arteries I colored with you in the first or the second class. The second class. Yeah, the arteries I colored with you. That one is what you can really color it. If you don't have the coloring book, you can color, you know, that one and you can see here. But as we go along, you know, I will be, you know, explaining things here. So here we have in the arterial supply of the lower limb. What, if somebody asks you, what is the main artery supplying blood to the lower limb? What's the main artery? The femoral artery. The femoral artery is for the whole lower limb. So if there's something blocking or something is happening to the femoral artery, you may then want to think about what is going to happen to the lower extremity blood supply. And what would you tell me is the location of the femoral artery? Where would you say it is located? Where is it located? First of all, for this part, it's in the femoral triangle, isn't it? Femoral triangle, this is, you know, here you have the femoral triangle, and then of course it's in the medial part of the thigh, and then slips right down to the popliteal fossa via what aperture? What does aperture mean to you? Aperture. Aperture, because I may use such terminologies. So here, what does aperture mean? Do you understand the meaning of aperture? An opening, a hole, you know, an opening. This is from, photography, you know, when you do aperture, you know, you reduce and all that old type photography. Okay, you do that, okay. And so aperture. So here we have, as you come here, so the femoral artery goes into the popliteal fossa via an aperture, which we talked about this morning, and which is that aperture? The adductor hiatus, And so from where is it located? What is the source of it? From where do you get the femoral artery? From where is it coming? Femoral artery, what is the source? In the dissection lab, you are likely to be asked the source of an artery or a vein. Yeah. The external, yeah, look at it here. The external femoral artery, it's the external ilia. So what is happening is, what is the deciding factor? When would the external iliac artery become the femoral artery? Below the inguinal ligament. Below the inguinal ligament. So here is the inguinal ligament. And below the inguinal ligament, the external iliac artery is called the femoral artery. What is the anatomical principle that you could use here, you know, to call this artery the femoral artery? What is the anatomical principle that you learned in the first day of class here? Deep arteries are named according to the region in which it is traveling. Deep arteries are named according to the region in which it is traveling. Which other structure is named according to the region in which it is traveling? The deep veins. Generally speaking, get that information. Deep veins and deep arteries are named according to the region in which it is traveling. So it is very easy. So if you have a large artery here, that means a deep artery here. Okay? That one is the femoral artery. And the vein that will be traveling along here will be the femoral vein, because it's a deep vein. That doesn't apply to superficial veins. Superficial veins have different names. That doesn't apply to any reason there, but there's other reasons, other principles, other reasons, okay? And so, the source of the femoral artery is, of course, it's external ilia. How does it terminate? What is the termination? What is the termination of the femoral artery? Why that? I'm not being picky about it. What I'm doing is, do you know where is the femoral artery located? How far would you say There's a damage to femoral artery. So is it in the popliteal fossa? It's not the femoral artery in the popliteal fossa. What is it in the popliteal fossa? Popliteal artery, okay? Popliteal artery. So femoral artery, and then that is terminating as the popliteal artery. So this is just taking a rest, you see. I knew that it's taking a rest. And so, and when you look at, when somebody puts a pin in here in the dissection valve and asks you the termination of this artery, read the question and answer that. Don't say this is the femoral artery. Okay? And when you see it, oh, I know it, this is very simple femoral artery. No. Read the question. ID the termination. State the termination. Name the termination. What is the termination? So we don't want you to read too much. So you have enough time to think. We just shorten things and say ID this, that, stuff like that. Okay? And so that's the termination. And then, and surrounding structures, of course you have medially the femoral, what you call the femoral vein, and you know, then you can see next to it, of course, the profunda femoris artery, or the deep femoral artery, and of course muscles all around, anterior, posterior, lateral, medial, everywhere you have, yes. Yes, let me pose that question to the class. Is there a point where the femoral artery ends and it becomes popliteal? At the adductor hiatus. Okay? At the adductor hiatus. Now, its relationship to the... So next thing, I would have been answering that question. Now you answered it. Relationship to the Handes canal or adductor canal or subsectorial canal. The adductor canal, Handes canal, subsectorial canal are all the same. What is the relationship? It is in it. It passes the femoral artery. After the femoral artery comes from the femoral triangle here. So right over here you can see that thing here. Alright, this is all only the muscles here. Okay, here. See, look at it here. Here is the, what is called part of the, you know, the adductor canal here. So here is your, the femoral triangle. In the femoral triangle you find, you know, the artery and the vein, but then in the apex of the femoral triangle, these structures that you found in the femoral triangle, they are leading, going, passing into the adductor canal, adductor canal, Handes canal or subsartorial, you know, because here's the sartorius muscle is been, you know, it's right here, sartorius muscle will be coming down here. This is the other part of the sartorius here. See, that will be. So this canal here is what you would call the subsartorial. Subsartorial. What do you understand by that? Subsartorial. Below the sartorius muscle. Subsartorial or Handes or adductor. Adductor canal, because you know it is right over the adductor magnus, you know, muscle. And so then, what is the relationship of the femoral artery to the adductor canal? It is traveling in the adductor canal. And via the adductor hiatus, it is becoming, it's going to the popliteal fossa. And in the popliteal fossa, it is the popliteal, you know, artery. Okay? And so, the branches of it, I have given the superficial branches here, so you know, when you look at it, I'm not going to ask you questions on each of these little arteries here. Why I include them here? As a physician, I'd like you to know that when you look at the femoral artery, there are several you know, the small arteries, you know, that are coming off of the femoral artery here, they are all named. So here, as you look at it, there are so many of them. But only the important ones that are here, I will pay attention to. But the others, as a physician, you need to know that there are small vessels going here and there, and they are named according to where it is supplying this, that, everything, okay? And so that is not the detailed information I am going to be asking you questions on. And then I still have a couple of minutes before I, you know, finish this part. That is, you told me that the femoral artery is the main artery or the arterial supply of the lower leg. If that is the case, what is the main artery supplying blood to the thigh? Because the entire lower extremity is not just the thigh. So what is supplying blood to the thigh? What's the main arterial supply to the thigh? Deep femoral or the profunda femoris. Profunda femoris is the name by which we all used to study. Now, it's creeping into the literature, is the deep artery of the thigh or the profunda femoris artery. Okay? So that is here. So from the femoral artery, immediately after the femoral artery has become the femoral artery, it gives several small branches, but in addition, it gives one main branch here in the thigh. That artery is, you see where is its location, what is its relationship to the femoral artery? You can see it is located lateral. I haven't seen, it can come out here, but I haven't seen any, profunda femoris coming out, you know, medial to the femoral artery. So it's coming out from the lateral aspect, and it is giving all these perforating branches. Perforating branches means perforating the muscles. Yeah, just muscles and bones, it will, all those structures there. Again, I'm not going to pay attention to all these perforating branches, but I'd like you to know that all the muscles and the bones and all the structures there are receiving from these, you know, perforating branches. And what is important here is that there is a medial circumflex femoral artery. There's a lateral circumflex femoral artery. Look at those two. The lateral circumflex femoral, look at this one branch coming down, another branch. Look at the medial circumflex going around. So these two, the circumflex arteries, medial and lateral, are very important. And we can ask the questions on it. We can put it on exams. Anywhere and everywhere, they are important because of what they are accomplishing. The medial and lateral circumflex arteries supply blood to what structures do you think that is important in this region? All structures are important, but why do you think we pay attention to this? The head and neck of the femur. The head and neck of the femur, there is an anastomosis there, and so that is why. And look at the other thing here. From the lateral circumflex, you also have a branch coming right down here to the knee joint area and participating in the extensive anastomosis you would find around the knee joint, okay? And so that is the reason why the medial and lateral circumflex arteries are, you know, important. And so descending genicular and whatnot, you know, here as you see. And then muscular branches, we have gone over. Deep artery of the thigh, we have just gone over here. Circumflex arteries, medial and lateral, and several perforating branches, numerous muscular branches, and just so that you know from where that supply. And I have time to do the cruciate anastomosis. Julie. We'll do the cruciate anastomosis after the break. Okay, please come down. Don't get up, all of you guys. Wait for them. They are upper class, and you better listen to them. Yeah. They didn't put you through a hazing or anything, so you better listen. Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, you need the microphone?
Can you guys hear us in the back?
Yes.
Okay, go.
My name's Laura, and I'm student council. I'm the team leader for communications.
And I'm Julia, and I'm the team leader for the administration team.
We just wanted to take a minute to come and introduce ourselves. There are four more of us who are team leaders who couldn't be here today. And we just wanted to take just a second to say that we will be sending out an email that's introducing everybody on student council, and it'll have a lot more information about how student council works and who we are and what we do.
And we really want to invite you all to be involved, because we really want to make sure that you're involved in getting everything you want out of your Bastyr experience, from academics to kind of social activities. And so we're going to be having a meeting on Monday, and that will be a great opportunity for you guys to come and see how a student council runs, how you can be involved, how to sign up for a team. We are organized a little bit differently than some of the other student councils that you may be familiar with, whereas we have six teams that kind of provide a springboard for students to go and kind of orchestrate projects or create whatever it is that you would like to create. And so the teams are administration, communication, clinic, academics, activities, and finance. So if you guys have any questions.
And everybody's welcome to the meeting. You don't have to be part of student council. You don't have to think that you want to be on student council. But if you do want to be a part of it, if you think you might want to be a part of it, anybody's welcome. It's Monday during lunch, and we have three each quarter. And you'll learn a lot more, both from the email and at the meeting, if you're interested. So.
Where is it exactly?
That'll be in the email when we find out. We haven't figured out exactly what room it'll be in yet. But Monday at noon is the first meeting.
Welcome.
Welcome, Bastyr. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for
having me. Okay. Project break. Then we'll start.